Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show, where we are making the world a polite place to live one person at a time. We cover topics ranging from everyday office etiquette, bullying, to handling pet peeves. Also, we remind you to initiate acts of kindness. If you are listening live, call 917-889-7821. And here is your host, communication and socialization expert, speaker, and author, also known as the Etiquette Lady, Miss Donna.
Good evening, happy Sunday, and welcome to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I'm Miss Donna, also known as the Etiquette Lady, and today is Sunday, February 21st, 2018, and we are broadcasting live from the beautiful and warm city of Atlanta, Georgia. This evening, we will continue to discuss Black history facts, so please certainly stay tuned. Well, thank you, loyal listeners, for being a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. I want to say thank you at this time to those who may be joining us for the first time. Welcome. We are so delighted each time you take time out of your schedule to join us. Well, for the new listeners, and we know that we have new listeners each and every show, we basically have a tradition to answer the question, what is etiquette anyway? So since the name of our show is a question, it would be only proper etiquette question, okay? Etiquette is a set of rules of behavior, and by using these rules, people make living with each other more pleasant and comfortable. Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly am trying to make the world a polite place to live and to make people more comfortable. The word etiquette comes from an old French word meaning ticket, and later came to mean a prescribed routine, especially of court behavior. Charles I and II of England copied the rules of etiquette from the French court. And you know what? These rules became requirements of behavior everywhere. So I certainly always send kudos out to Charles I and II. Well, as we all know, February is Black History Month, and we've just taken time to discuss some Black history facts in the event that you did not have an opportunity to listen to the show on last week. Certainly would like to invite you to go back and take a listen to that episode. We certainly did discuss some very, very important Black history makers, and we are going to discuss some others this evening. And I would like to say, if you would like to join the conversation, you can feel free to call us at 917-889-7821 or just simply send your email to etiquetteladies@gmail.com, etiquetteladies@gmail.com. Well, so Black History Month, what does that mean to you? Well, to me, the first person that I would like to discuss is someone that's very special to me. She happens to be one of the first to discuss and to teach, if you will, social graces. And of course, since I teach social etiquette or social graces, it was so very interesting to research her and to learn about her several years ago. And her name is Dr. Charlotte Hawkins. Dr. Charlotte Hawkins. And what I'd like to do, I'm just going to start out by a reading. This is an excerpt from a speech that she delivered back on March 10th, 1940. This was actually a CBS radio broadcast, and that particular broadcast was titled Wings Over Jordan. And the name of her speech is actually called The Negro and the Social Racist. And she starts that speech by saying, I have chosen to speak to you this morning on a subject which is very near to my soul, the Negro and the social graces. By social graces, I do not mean an attitude of cheap civility, assumed for the purpose of currying favor. I mean simply doing the courteous thing and making a pleasing appearance. The practice of everyday good manners, so generally lacking nowadays in the conduct of the average young person, regardless of race. And she goes on to say, my message for the most part is to that group of young Negroes from high schools and colleges whose education is above the average. For unfortunately, many of these are inclined to associate all forms of politeness, fine manners, and social graces with the slavery time performances of the maid and the butler, and to discard anything which they feel might have come out of those days in which their ancestors were slaves. They forget that even in those days, many Negroes were schooled in the correct thing, and that what they were not taught, they caught in the way of social demeanor. One needs only to read any book, fiction or fact, associated with the life of Negroes in the households previous to 1865 to see that it was the Negro butler and maid who actually taught the social graces to the children of the everything from learning how to curtsy to the art of walking with charm and grace across the ballroom floor. The canons of the social graces were learned by those slaves or servants as religiously as their masters learned the catechism. So if you're just joining us, you are listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. I just read a speech that was given back in 1940 by Dr. Charlotte Hawkins, and she was one of the first to teach social graces, and to this date, there is what is called the Charlotte Hawkins Brown Museum at the Historic Palmer Memorial Institute in North Carolina. And so once again, I say thank you to Dr. Charlotte Hawkins Brown. She is definitely near and dear to my heart, teaching social graces. So now let's talk a little bit about who invented the ironing board. I know last week in our program, we were talking about who actually invented the dry cleaning process. So we're going to talk about the ironing board, because I know we all have an ironing board in our homes. And just to think that we can thank who is called Sarah Boone. Sarah Boone. Sarah Boone was an African-American inventor who was awarded a patent for the ironing board. So you say, who is Sarah Boone? Well, Ms. Boone was born in 1832 in Craven County, North Carolina. Sarah Boone made her name by inventing the ironing board. Boone was a rarity during her time, a female African-American inventor. In her patent application, listen to this, she wrote that the purpose of her invention was to produce a cheap, simple, convenient, and highly effective device, particularly adapted to be used in ironing the sleeves and bodies of ladies' garments. Prior to that time, most people ironed using a board of wood rested across a pair of chairs or tables. She was living in New Haven, Connecticut, when her patent was granted in 1892. And of course, she died in 1904. So the next time you take out your ironing board, think about Sarah Boone, who actually invented that. And of course, it's quite different to iron. Usually men's clothes are quite different to iron than ladies' clothes. And so since ladies have such a variety of the dresses and the skirts and then the different kinds of sleeves and so on and so forth, that was really needed to, you know, make sure that there was something that was invented to be able to actually, you know, have that particular device, especially for the sleeves and then the different body types of garments. So again, once you pull out your ironing board, please make sure you think of and thank Miss Sarah Boone. Okay, so if you live anywhere and you drive a car, especially places that there, cities that there is a lot of traffic and congestion, it's so important that we obey the traffic laws, which includes the traffic signals. And just think a moment, if there was not a traffic signal on any of the streets, what would happen? And you're probably thinking, well, we probably have stop signs. Yeah, we do. We have stop signs. But as far as when you're talking about major traffic congestion and situations, what would we do without, just think about that for a minute. If there were no traffic lights, what would we do? Well, it's a good thing we don't have to worry about it because we do have traffic signals thanks to Garrett Morgan. So in 1923, Garrett Morgan patents three-position traffic signal. So in 1923, the U.S. Patent Office grants a patent to 46-year-old inventor and newspaper man Garrett Morgan for his three-position traffic signal. Though Morgan's was not the first traffic signal, that one had been installed in London in 1868, it was an important innovation nonetheless. By having a position besides just stop and go, it regulated crossing vehicles more safely than earlier signals had. Morgan, the child of two former slaves, was born in Kentucky in 1877. When he was just 14 years old, he moved north to Ohio to look for a job. First, he worked as a handyman in Cincinnati. Next, he moved to Cleveland, where he worked as a sewing machine repairman. In 1907, he opened his own repair shop, and in 1909, he added a garment shop to his operation. The business was an enormous success, and by 1920, Morgan had made enough money to start a newspaper, the Cleveland Call, which became one of the most important black newspapers in the nation. Morgan was prosperous enough to have a car at a time when the streets were crowded with all manner of vehicles, bicycles, horse-drawn delivery wagons, streetcars, and pedestrians all shared downtown Cleveland's narrow streets and clogged, they actually clogged the intersections. There were manually operated traffic signals where major streets crossed one another, but they were not all that effective because they switched back and forth between stop and go with no interval in between. Drivers had no time to react when the command changed. So just think about that. If you just had a red light, you were sitting in a red light, and then it turned green, and you go, and then automatically it turned red again. And just kind of imagine that for a minute. Imagine the confusion. Well, this led to many collisions between vehicles that both had the right-of-way when they entered the intersection. As the story goes, when Morgan witnessed an I'm sorry, we had a little technical difficulty for a moment. I apologize for that. But when Morgan witnessed an especially spectacular accident at a regulated corner, he had an idea. If he designed an automated signal with an interim warning position, the ancestor of today's yellow light, drivers would have time to clear the intersection before crossing traffic entered it. At night, when traffic was light, it could be set at half mast, which the signal Morgan patented was a T-shaped pole with three blinking lights. Okay, blinking yellow light during the day, warning drivers to proceed carefully through intersection. And he actually sold the rights to his invention to General Electric for $40,000. Once again, when you pull up to the stoplight or you see the light changing yellow, green, red, you can thank Garrett Morgan for actually patenting the three-position traffic signal. And we will be right back in just a moment.
Etiquette Lady, you have been making the world a polite place to live on the air for a decade. Congratulations on the 10 years of What Is Etiquette Anyway radio programming. Happy anniversary.
Okay, we are back. In case you are just joining us, you are listening to What Is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. We are celebrating Black History Month, and we're talking about wonderful Black history makers, okay? And once again, in case you are just joining us, feel free to go back and listen to the show in its entirety, because all of our shows are actually archives. I'm going to go to the phone and see if I can pick up a few callers. Thank you so much for your patience. Extension 1634. 1634. Thanks for calling What Is Etiquette Anyway. Hello. Hello. Okay, perhaps they're listening, which is perfectly fine. Let's see if I can pick up another caller. Let's see. Extension 4999. Thanks for calling What Is Etiquette Anyway. Extension 4999. Hello.
Hello. Just listening.
Okay. Not a problem. Thank you so much. All right. And I'm going to see if we can pick up one additional caller. Extension 8461. 8461. Hello. Okay, perhaps they are listening as well. So No problem. All right, let's talk a little bit about Irene. They called her Renee Dobbs Jackson. Okay, Irene Dobbs Jackson was born in 1908, the first of Irene and John Wesley Dobbs' six daughters. Growing up in the thriving atmosphere of Auburn Avenue, she was also a gifted pianist and scholar. Irene, known as Renee, was valedictorian of her high school and also 1929 Spelman class as well. In 1932, a man called and asked her to play piano at a party. She agreed and thus met her husband-to-be, Maynard Jackson, Sr. After she completed a master's degree at the University of Tulane in France, Renee returned to the States, and they were married. They had six children. Following her husband's death in 1956, Renee packed up her children and headed back to the University of Toulouse to earn her doctorate in French. She completed the three-year program in 2 years and returned to Atlanta to assume a post as a professor at Spelman College. In 1959, Renee walked into the Atlanta Public Library and asked to become a member. While she had studied in France, she had been free to join any library she wanted and check out any books. But in Atlanta, that was not then permitted for African Americans. Blacks were permitted to read books, but only in the basement. That made Renee became the first African-American to receive a library card from the main branch of the Atlanta Public Library System. Her eldest son, Maynard Jackson Jr., who became Atlanta's first African-American mayor, serving three terms, from 1974 to 1982, and his third term, 1990 to 1994. And you're probably thinking right now, when I first heard about this, I couldn't believe it. I said, okay, are you serious? 1959? Prior to 1959, and with me living in Atlanta, I was just a little startled by that you could not actually check out books before that time period. So I was taken a little, taken aback by that. But absolutely, she was the very first to be able to secure a library card and to be able to check out books. So very, very interesting, I thought. Okay, let me see if I can go to the phone and let's see. Okay, extension 7211. Hello. Hello, extension 7211. Okay, perhaps they're listening. Oftentimes, if it's not real convenient to listen online, and people will actually call the live line to listen, which is perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine. Let's talk about James McCoon Smith, who was born in April. He was born April 18th, 1813. James McCoon Smith was the first African-American to practice medicine in the United States. Now, he was born in New York City on April 18, 1813, to the son of a slave and a self-emancipated woman, James McCoon Smith. I certainly want to cover some of our emails, and I thank you all for taking the time out to send us emails. The first one says, I am 17 years of age, and thank you for including a youth co-host. Thank you for all that you do. This comes from Cassie Lane, Chamblee High School. Thank you so much, Cassie, for taking the time out to send that email to us. Here's one. It says, Etiquette Lady, I really enjoy listening to your show and the great content that you have. Congratulations on 10 years, and I hope you have many more. And this comes from the Johnson family. Thank you so much, Johnson family, for listening and for your congratulations. Certainly do appreciate that. Here's one that says, Miss Donna, Etiquette Lady, my family and I listen to your show quite often, and I think you have some really good topics. I told my friends about you and the information that you cover. Thank you. And this comes from Desmond, and I believe it's pronounced Nacy, from Columbus, Ohio. Desmond, thank you for that. I certainly do appreciate it. And we have one here. It says, Etiquette Lady, would you consider doing a show on dating manners? It will be helpful as we get ready to go to the prom. Just a suggestion. Thank you. And this comes from Kelly from Atlanta. Absolutely, Kelly will be more than happy to do that show. We generally, during prom time, we generally do do a show on prom etiquette. And Kelly will certainly, that will be coming up soon, as I know prom season will be upon us within about a month or so. So absolutely we will do that. Well, wow, looks like we have come down to the end of the show. Gosh, thank you so much for listening this evening. And as I said earlier, in case you joined the show late, feel free to go back and listen to the show in its entirety. All of our shows are archived, so you'll be able to do that. Those of you who send us messages and those of you that call, thank you so much. If you were joining us for the first time, welcome. Thanks for being a part of our What is Etiquette Anyway family. And remember, as Kelly did, if you have a topic that you would like to hear us cover in the future, please feel free to let us know. And we appreciate it when you tell your friends and family about our show and when you invite them to listen. After all, our goal really is to make the world a polite place to live. And I'm aware that that can only be done one person at a time, okay? So remember the golden rule, treat others the way you want to be treated. And each week, I always emphasize, never tire of loyalty and kindness. Hold these virtues tightly. Write them deep within your heart. That comes from Proverbs 3:3. And initiate a random act of kindness this week. I really feel that you can initiate an act of kindness every day, but at least certainly initiate an act of kindness this week, okay? Once again, thank you all so much for tuning in. Certainly do appreciate it. We will talk again next week. Good night, take care, and God bless.
You've been listening to What is Etiquette Anyway, the talk show. Please join us again next time as we'll discuss another exciting topic.